You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonsalves here with SBS on the Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Wednesday, the 21st of October 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, what percentage of non-Anglo men and women sit on the boards of Australia's top ASX 200 companies? We'll have more on that in a few moments. But first, let's talk about retail sales, because growth is starting to normalise. The Australian Bureau of Statistics says preliminary retail sales fell 1.5% in September, but that follows record spending a few months before that. And year on year, sales are still up. Up 5.2%. So for more on that, I spoke with Craig James, the chief economist at HomSec. Craig, what does the economic release say about Australia's economic recovery?
The recovery is firmly in place, but it's a very bumpy recovery. What we've seen over the last 2 months is retail spending falling and falling by around about 5.5%. But the three previous months, we had retail spending up by 23%. So overall, retail spending is still moving compared with a year ago, up around about 5.2%.
2 months of declines, though, that slowing momentum, is that a concern?
I think it's more a reflection of the fact that the three previous months were super strong, sort of gains in spending, and they just couldn't be sustained. So we're getting back to a more normal situation. If you look over the last 7 months, we've had average monthly gains over the last 7 months in the order of 1.2% a month, and that's quite healthy growth that we're seeing over that period of time.
By sector, where are the falls and why?
Well, there's two main areas of falls in the food category and also the household goods category. Now, in the past couple of months, they've been substantially the strongest areas that we've seen across the retail categories. And that's because what we've seen is a number of people fitting out their home offices with household goods. And also in terms of food, we've had a degree of panic buying. So that's basically weeded out over the last couple of months. Those two categories of spending, though, those two industry sectors, are still seeing spending up on a year ago.
And how does Victoria influence the overall result?
Well, we saw a much bigger decline in August. The September decline in Victoria was only fairly modest. So overall, it didn't influence the numbers as much as what we've seen in the past. But when you take Victoria into the situation, we're doing sort of a whole lot better than what a lot of people thought sort of only a few months ago.
Craig James there talking about the retail turnover numbers we saw today. Now, speaking of some of the companies that are doing well, is online furniture retailer Temple and Webster, although its shares were really hit today, down 17%. Still, the company revealed it made more profit in the 3 months to September than it did the entire year earlier, with more people working and living from home because of the pandemic, meaning, you know, they're wanting to update their homes around the country, especially with many people having extra disposable income because some, I guess, aren't able to travel and use that despite the recession. It also said sales are up 138% year on year. Some fund managers, though, told me today that there are concerns of an e-commerce bubble in the sector and wondered whether the sales momentum post-pandemic will continue. Shares of Kogan today also fell. It does sell furniture through its Matt Black brand, down 2.2%. Nick Scali down 2.9%. Harvey Norman off by 0.6%. But Temple & Webster, even though shares fell 17% today, they have risen 640% since the March low. Let's turn our attention now to the broader market. The S&P ASX 200, pretty directionless, up only 0.1% to 6,191. The banks did well, NAB up by 1.6%. So too did resource stocks. Stocks like BHP, it rose 0.6%. The weakness came through from the majors like CSL, Woolies and Wesfarmers. For more, I spoke earlier with Ben Clark from TMS Capital. Ben, the market hasn't been really trading with much conviction today. Why?
Look, I think we've had a really strong run, particularly locally lately. And I think, no real lead from overseas. Fundy's happy to take a bit of a breather today. And we've got two big macro events which are getting closer and closer. So maybe people waiting to see how these play out.
Speaking of those macro events, you've got the US presidential election, and then you've got potential news on a vaccine. Which one holds more sway for the market?
If you'd asked me a few weeks ago, I would have said the election in the short term. But I think Biden, with the amount of stimulus that he's now looking to spend, he's almost becoming the market favorite. The market's rallying as he becomes a shorter priced odds to win the election. But the vaccine announcement is far more meaningful. We've got 4 stage 3 results that'll be out before the middle of December. And if the first couple of those are duds and are proven not to work, we might start to see the market get the jitters, because it's been priced in that one of these 4 will be successful.
And what's your take on the IPO market at the moment? Aussie Broadband listed last week. We've got MyDeal tomorrow or the next day, and a few more before the end of the year. I've just read that the Mexican fast food giant Guzman and Gomez is now considering one. Is it the right time to list, and what do investors need to know?
Yeah, it's interesting. In the small cap area of the market, I'd say it's very strong at the moment. And I think that's really being driven by a lot of mums and dads who are willing to write out a check and take on some risk, potentially newer to the market. But I can tell you, in the larger end, we really haven't had a float getaway this year. And I think fund managers are a lot more conservative, more discerning about what they will invest in. And it's a bigger task to get out there and see them and get them willing to back it.
Ben Clark there from TMS Capital. Before we go, let's talk about the cultural diversity in Australian boardrooms. There is a greater push now for greater cultural diversity among them. The Women on Boards Cultural Diversity Working Group says only 5.2% of board positions on the ASX 200 are held by men or women of non-Anglo origin, and less than 2%, in fact, 1.8% by non-Anglo women. Now, the working group chair says businesses miss out on overseas growth and advances in innovation as a result. And I spoke with her earlier. Her name is Rima Capodici. Why do you think that is?
There are various factors. There isn't one reason that we need to hit with the nail and then it's problem fixed. I think it needs to come from both angles. We need to do education on the decision makers, whether that's recruiters or chairs, but we also need to give people from non-Anglo backgrounds the confidence to put their hands up and to actually, not give up before the fight has started.
How does this disadvantage these organisations by missing out on this lack of diversity?
Stories from chairmen and chairwomen of ASX 200 boards who have diversity. We are hearing that it has benefited them in terms of growth into, venturing into global markets. It has promoted innovation because not everybody has been raised the same in the same culture, and it brings a different way of thinking. And we have demonstrable track record of companies who have, used diversity to be able to tap into a global pool talent.
I like that comment where you were talking about how it's the solution is on both sides, right? How important is it for those of a multicultural background to have that confidence to apply for these positions? Because then I'm assuming that the pool to promote from within to get onto these boards are quite small, right?
I think the same push that we gave women to sit on boards, that needs to be duplicated to people of non-Anglo origin as well. So it needs to materialise in terms of mentorship programs, sponsorship programs.
Rima Capodici there from Women on Boards. Before I go, just a couple of things. We were talking about the winners and losers of the pandemic earlier. We've heard about some of the online retailers. If we take a look at a global perspective, we heard from Cathay Pacific today. The aviation sector is obviously one that has fallen to its knees. Today, the Hong Kong carrier said it would slash nearly 6,000 jobs and end its regional Cathay Dragon brand. So overall, Cathay Pacific is cutting 24% of its normal workforce. On the flip side, though, we also heard from Snapchat, With more of us staying at home, communication platforms have risen in popularity, and Snapchat said that daily active users rose 18% year on year to nearly 250 million in the September quarter. And that's better than expected and helped revenue hit a record high, sending its share price up 23% in after hours trade in the US. And the company also says the average number of snaps increased 25% on a year ago, and users spent 50% more time watching the company's shows. Some winners there. That is the end of SBS On The Money for this Wednesday, the 21st of October 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo. This On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It's not personal advice, and it doesn't consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.